So, we're on a series called Questions. And all throughout this series, I'm doing a very dangerous thing. I'm allowing you to pick what I preach on every single week. I'm asking you guys on your red cards, you can email the church. You can email me directly, jc@gc.life. But I'm asking you guys for your questions, and you guys have given us some good ones, okay? And this question today is something that somebody submitted on the very first week when I announced that this series was going on. They said, how do I respond when I'm under pressure? I'm going to take a survey. Has anybody here ever been under pressure? Okay, yeah, I think that's all of us. But now I'm going to ask you to be really honest today. How many of you here would say, I thrive under pressure? Anybody? Okay. How many of you would say, I tend to croak under pressure? Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you for your honesty this morning. But we're going to talk about this topic. What does it mean to be under pressure? And I'll be honest with you, I know what it's like to be under pressure. Because where I'm standing right now is a high-pressure environment. Okay, I was in ministry for almost 10 years before I ever had to preach on a Sunday morning. And this is what I discovered as a pastor. When you're preaching in the pulpit every single Sunday, you use up all your good stuff pretty quick. Your best jokes, your best stories, your best sermons, in just a few weeks and you've used it all up. But guess what? Those Sunday mornings, they don't stop coming. Every week, as soon as Sunday service is over, I'm thinking, okay, we got to do this again next Sunday. Pressure. I read a recent study that found that surveyed people's greatest fears, and they found that people's number one fear was public speaking. That's a pretty big deal, given that number two was death. People are more afraid of public speaking than of dying. Because it's a high pressure environment. Now think about, on top of that, what about speaking on behalf of God Himself? That's pressure. That is pressure. And there's a principle that, a leadership principle that says, never let them see you sweat. But the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest leaders that Christianity has ever seen, writes 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8 with great honesty. Because Paul was not afraid to admit his struggles. And here in his letter to the church in Corinth, he just opens up his heart and says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. We don't know exactly what happened in Asia, but we know that Paul was under tremendous pressure while he was there. Some of you, you're under pressure right now. Maybe you're under pressure to act like you know what you're talking about at work. Come on, I've been there before. Come on, you got a report, you got that meeting, you got to act like you got your stuff together when you don't know what you're saying. Looking up fancy words just to try to create a diversion. Maybe you're under pressure to provide a place, a safe home environment for your children. Maybe you're under pressure because you've been to 17 job interviews and you haven't gotten a single offer yet. Maybe you're a young couple and you're under pressure because every time your parents come to town, all they talk about is how they wish they had some grandkids, and all they want to do is have grandkids, and they can't wait till they have grandkids. Pressure. Maybe you're like me, maybe you're in the grocery aisle and all the magazines say that you need to lose 20 pounds and you need to lose 20 pounds fast. And when you read that, it makes you want to reach for the king-size Snicker bar instead of the regular size. Pressure. I have a medical condition known as ITF. It's called I'm too fat. And when I'm under pressure, my ITF tends to act up. Try to eat my way out. Put pressure on my organs. Maybe you're a young person. You're facing the pressure to stay pure. Everybody around you is putting pressure on you, making fun of you, saying you're weird. Maybe you're being pressured right now because of same-sex attraction. Oh, we just got real today, didn't we? Maybe you're under pressure because you've had these thoughts enter your mind. Maybe you're being pressured by the world around you. Everybody's telling you that it's normal, that it's okay. Maybe you were born one gender and you're under pressure because you've been thinking these thoughts and you know they're not from God, but they're putting pressure on you. Putting pressure on you. By the way, just because a thought enters your mind doesn't mean that's who you are. I know the world around us doesn't say that. I know that's not popular. I know that it's not politically correct. But just because a thought enters your mind does not make that thing your identity. I'm going to make all the church people nervous today, but I guarantee you that most people in this room at some point in their life have either had a homosexual thought or an adulterous thought or a lustful thought cross their mind. Just because a bird flies over your head doesn't mean you let it build a nest there. And that's the despicable thing about the culture in which we live. When a young person has a homosexual thought or a transgender thought, this culture immediately tells them, well, that's just who you are. The devil is a liar. You are who God says you are. He's the one who made you. He's the one who determines who you are. And you'll never know who you are until you know the one who made you to be who you are. Listen, I'm going to put somebody at ease this morning. We all have bad thoughts sometimes. We all have weird thoughts. We all have sinful thoughts, but a thought is nothing more than a thought. And the Bible tells us what to do with those thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Just because you have a thought, that doesn't make that who you are. Bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. But even still, those thoughts come, and when they come, they put incredible pressure on you. Look back at verse number 8 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We don't want you to be uninformed about the troubles we had in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure. Look at this. This is Paul. This is the guy who had it all together, who had it going on. God's man of faith and power this very hour. The man of God who raised the dead to life again. Paul said, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant of the troubles we faced. And yet Paul doesn't tell us exactly what he faced in Asia. Theologians have speculated maybe it was a time in Lystra when the people stoned Paul and left him for dead. I would call that great pressure. I would say that's beyond our ability to endure. They stoned him and left him for dead. Maybe it was the time at Ephesus when Demetrius the silversmith incited a riot against them. Maybe it was the plot against his life mentioned in Acts chapter 20 where people were actively seeking to kill Paul. Maybe it was a life-threatening illness that brought them to the point of death. You see, we don't really know what happened to them in Asia, and Paul doesn't go into detail, but I think that's intentional. Because it's not about what happened to him. It was about his response to what happened to him. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? The message of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is not about the source of the pressure. It's about his response to the pressure. If you don't hear anything else I say today, if you go to sleep in 2 minutes, I want you to please hear this. Success is not determined by your circumstances. Success is determined to how you respond to your circumstances. We can't help the things that happen to us in this life. The only thing we can help is how we respond to them. And Paul was under pressure. We don't know what the pressure was, but we do know how it made him feel. Paul said, we were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. That word despair in that verse, in the original Greek, it means the total unavailability of an exit. Paul was in a place where there was no way out. There was no help. There was no escape. He tried everything and there was nothing he could do. There was the total unavailability of an exit. In other words, Paul was under pressure and there was no way out. What do you do when there's no way out? There's a myth out there that some people think is in the Bible, but it's actually not. It's the idea that God will never give you more than you can handle. Oh, it's a very popular saying, but it's actually a misquote of what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to read that to you. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul's talking about one specific thing, temptation. God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. Somebody, you just hate you came to church today because I took away all your excuses because the Bible says, talking about, "Pastor, I just can't help it." The Word of God says that God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. Okay? But when it comes to temptation, God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. But it's a far different thing to say that nothing will happen to you that is beyond your ability to bear. God will never let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Okay, but God has a way of regularly putting us in situations, facing us with problems and opposition that is far beyond our own ability to handle. That's exactly where Paul was. He said it was far beyond our ability to endure. Listen, God never said that He'd give you more than you can handle, but He did say He'll never give you more than He can handle. Come on, say that out loud. God will never give me more than He can handle. Oh, there'll be times when you can't handle it, but there is no problem that God can't handle. It said in Psalm 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." So this morning, I want to give you three things that I preach to myself when I'm under pressure. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you your own sermon notes so you can preach your own sermon to yourself in the middle of your situation. Are you ready? Three things that I tell myself when I'm under pressure. Number one, I've been here before. I may not have been in this exact situation, but I know what it's like to be under pressure because I've been here before. Come on, say, "I've been here before." Look at what Paul said in verse 10. He said, "God has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again." Do you know what helped Paul when he was faced with pressure? He remembered the last time he was under pressure. And he said, "If God did it last time, I know that He's able to do it now." Pressure. Listen to me. Pressure is preparation. Pressure is preparation. There are times when God will allow us to go through times of pressure because He's preparing us. Come on, I want you to help me preach. Come on, say, "Pressure is preparation."
Pressure is preparation.
Tell your neighbor, "Pressure is preparation."
Pressure.
Tell yourself, "Pressure is preparation."
Pressure.
When the United States Air Force trains fighter pilots, they put them through something called the centrifuge. The centrifuge is a high-pressure environment. It allows the pilot to experience pressure equal to 9 times the force of gravity. And at 9 G's, a 200-pound pilot will have so much pressure on him that it feels like he weighs 1,800 pounds. Why on earth would they subject a pilot in training to so much pressure? Because pressure is preparation. They put him through the pressure of the centrifuge so that later when he finds himself in a combat situation, he can handle the pressure. Why? Because I've been here before. You see, God will use the pressure in your life to prepare you for greater things. Yeah, you don't like the pressure. The pressure is uncomfortable. The pressure is painful, okay? But the pressure you're facing might not have anything to do with where you are right now, but where you're going.
Yeah.
God is using the pressure to prepare you so that when you're face to face with the enemy, you won't cave under pressure. I think about David, a little shepherd boy from Bethlehem. David was scrawny. David was the youngest of 8 brothers. And David, when his brothers were away at war, David was so little and so scrawny that they didn't even invite him. He said, "We don't need you, David. Go out and tend the sheep in the yard." But one day, Jesse, David's father, called him and said, "David, I want you to take some bread and cheese to your brothers on the battlefield." So here we have David, the very first pizza delivery boy in history. Think about it. Bread and cheese, go deliver it. So when he brought them the bread and cheese, he overheard a guy named Goliath taunting the Israelites. By the way, if I've learned anything from the Old Testament, I've learned that you don't mess with Israel. You don't touch Israel. But here was Goliath. He was taunting the Israelites, and boldness rose up inside of scrawny little David, and David decided to challenge the giant. Think about this. David is little, Goliath is big. Not only this, but listen to the terms of the battle, because we read the story and we celebrate the victory, but I want you to think about what David had at stake. These were the terms. Whoever won, they would take into captivity whoever lost. So this little scrawny boy went up against this big giant, and if David lost, the entire nation of Israel would go back into slavery. Everybody he loves, his mama, his daddy, his brother, his mama's mama, his daddy's daddy, everybody, all his friends, all his family, the whole nation of Israel would go into slavery if David lost this match with the giant. Wow. That's what I call pressure. David was in a high-pressure situation, but I want you to think about this. When David faced Goliath, what did he say? "I've been here before. Yes. I remember the time when I faced the bear. And I remember the time when I faced the lion. And if God delivered them into my hands, then God's going to deliver you too. I have been here before." There is something powerful about remembering the things that God has done for you yesterday. Because when you find yourself face to face with an enemy today, you can remember, if God did it then, He can do it right now. David said, "I'm sorry about you, devil. This ain't my first rodeo." Come on, tell somebody, "I've been here before." 3 things I tell myself under pressure. Number one, I've been here before. Number two, and I hope you get a hold of this morning. This is deep. I mean, this is deep. Number two, I'm not God. I want you to say that out loud. Come on, say, "I'm not God."
I'm not God.
Come on, say it again. "I'm not God."
I'm not God.
Tell your neighbor, "You're not either."
You're not either.
Sometimes God allows us to go through pressure so that we will return to Him what rightly belonged to Him the whole time. Some of you guys are suffering from a personal Messiah complex. You get into a situation and you act like a Christian atheist. You are acting as if there is no God. Oh, you get under financial pressure and you stop tithing, even though the Bible says that the tithe is the Lord's. Christian atheist, you start living like there is no God. You start living like you are God, that everything relies on you. But if you'll get a hold of the fact that you are not God, it will liberate you and set you free.
Amen.
It's not all resting on you. So stop acting like it is. This is what I tell myself. I'm not God. If something happened to me, the earth would keep spinning, the oceans would keep flowing, the planets would keep their orbit, and the sun and the stars will keep on shining. I have to remind myself, I am not God. Some of you, you would cry at my funeral, and then 15 minutes later, you know what you'd be saying? "Where's the chicken?" I am not God. If something happens to me, if I don't make it, guess what? This world is going to keep on going because God is still on the throne.
Yes.
Come on, say this out loud. There is a God. And I'm not him. All right, let's look back at our main scripture, 2 Corinthians 1:8. We'll skip down to verse 9. It talked about we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened. What happened? Pressure happened. Why? That we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. If you have a Bible and you write in your Bible, I want you to underline that. God who raises the dead. So they were despairing of life itself. There was no exit. There was no escape. And he says, we felt the sentence of death. In other words, we felt inside of us that there's no coming back from what I'm going through. Anybody ever been there? He felt the sentence of death. In other words, this goes way beyond. They were not having a bad day in the province of Asia. No, it was far beyond a bad day. It was, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. They felt the sentence of death. And here's the difficult truth. Sometimes God will allow things to die. Sometimes God will allow things to die. I think about the Shunammite woman. In 2 Kings chapter 4, Elisha blessed her and said, whatever you want, tell me and I'll ask God to give it to you. And she said, well, there's one thing I want more than anything. I want a son. And God answered her prayers. God blessed her with a son. Just like Elisha said God was going to do, God did it. She had a little son. He was growing up. And one day, they were out in the field and the little boy cried, my head, my head. And he died in her arms. What do you do when God allows your dream to die?
Wow.
Maybe you're like that Shunammite woman. Maybe you're like the Apostle Paul. You're under pressure to the point of death. Maybe it's a diagnosis of an incurable disease. Maybe it's a marriage that's so bad that it can't be salvaged. Maybe it's a career that you lost and there's no way of getting it back. Maybe it's a ministry that God called you to do and now it seems impossible. I don't know what it is for you, but what I do know is that when you're face to face with death, remember that our God is the God who raises the dead. Death might be final to you and me, but our God is so great that not even death can stand in His way. And He proved that to the Shunammite woman. Her son had died. She lost her son, but she found out on the worst day of her life that our God is able to raise the dead to life again. Not even death can stop the plan and purpose of God. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? We don't have to be afraid of death because death has been defeated and the power of God is greater than death. When you understand that, just like the Shunammite woman, you can be face to face with death and you can still say it as well because you know that our God is greater. God will allow you to face pressure to the point of death to prove to you that not even death can stop Him. I'm not God. I can't fix this. But He can. Tell somebody He can.
He can.
Last point this morning. Three things that I tell myself under pressure. Number one, I've been here before. Number two, I'm not God. In other words, I remind myself, okay, God is faithful. God is able. I've been here before. I'm not God. And number three, I'm better under pressure. When I'm under pressure, I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. I hate it. But I remind myself, you know what? You're better under pressure.
Yeah.
I'm better under pressure. And we tend to think, well, life would be so much better if I didn't have all this pressure. If I didn't have all the financial pressure. If I didn't have all the family problems. If I didn't have all the pressure of daily life. Life would be so much better. But I tell you this morning, no, it wouldn't. Because pressure creates. creates power. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 5, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. It says, "Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles." Triumph in our troubles. That would make a good sermon title right there. Triumph in trouble. "And rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance." Some things in life cannot come any other way than through pressure. Some things can only be produced by pressure. Moses didn't even find out who he was and who God called him to be until he told Pharaoh to let my people go, and Pharaoh said no. Pressure. The pressure was on, and it was when Moses was under pressure that God raised him up to be the man of God and the leader to Israel that he was called him to be. Think about Daniel in the lion's den. Everybody would have thought if our God is a God who delivers, that he would have delivered Daniel from the lion's den. But this is what the Bible says. God delivered Daniel in the lion's den. He put Daniel in a high-pressure environment to show and prove to the king of Persia that God is able to deliver even in the midst of danger, even in the midst of trouble. Anybody can be safe outside of the lion's den, but it takes the hand of God on your life to be preserved in the lion's den. God allowed him to be in the middle of a high-pressure situation. Think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knelt down and prayed and said, "God, if there be any other way." Pressure. He was under so much pressure that his sweat was like drops of blood. He said, "God, I don't want to be betrayed. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be whipped with a cat of nine tails. I don't want to have a crown of thorns thrust into my head. I don't want to have the stripes on my back. I don't want to have nails driven through my hands and my feet." But when Jesus was under the greatest pressure of his life, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Gethsemane means olive press. That's the thing. God uses pressure. You'll never get the oil until you press the olive. You see, it's not about the pressure on the outside. It's about what God has put inside of you. It's not about the external pressure that you're facing. It's about what God has put inside of you that He wants to produce in your life. Because I know there's more to you than meets the eye. I know there's some stuff inside of you that God has placed. And here's the thing about God. God will use pressure. The more you squeeze the olive, the more the oil comes out. And I know you don't like pressure. But sometimes you need a little pressure in your life. Because this is what I found about pressure. When you're under pressure, it'll make you pray better. Yes. When you're under pressure, oh boy, it will make you get up early and stay up late. Sometimes you need a sleepless night. Because God will use the pressure to help you pray, pressure to help you show a little compassion to people who are going through something, pressure to teach you how to stand on the promises of God and trust Him. Pressure will knock a little bit of arrogance off your life, won't it? God uses pressure. Some things can only be produced by pressure. A diamond without pressure, it's just a lump of coal. Pressure. I got a little sermon illustration this morning. Pressure. I got a little water in this thing. I put a little pressure. What's it do? Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Pressure. Anybody thirsty? Anybody want some? A little bit of pressure can go a long ways. But what about this? What about when you're really under pressure? Come on, pressure at work. Pressure at home. Financial pressure. Pressure in your health. Pressure in your career. Pressure in the neighborhood. Pressure to preach good. See, pressure produces power. Oh, I'm going to keep on going. Pressure produces power. You don't like the pressure, it doesn't feel good, it makes you uncomfortable. I know it hurts, I know it's painful, but that pressure, the more pressure you have, the more power you have. It's not about the pressure on the outside, it's what about what God has put on the inside. Y'all are never going to forget this, are you? Pressure produces power. Come on, say, pressure produces power. Tell somebody, I'm better under pressure. I'm going to close. Musicians, y'all go ahead and come. I better put this up because I feel the spirit of retaliation in the house today. I'm going to put that right there. Tucked away safely on the platform. Look, you can go home and tell your friends that your pastor shot you in church today. How many people in Goldsboro are going to be able to say that this morning? Pressure. I know pressure is uncomfortable. But some things only come by pressure. It's the only way. It's the only way. Pressure, I don't know if you noticed that pressure has a way of purifying us. Think about Hurricane Matthew. Our neighborhood was under a boil advisory. Why? Because the water main broke. They lost pressure. And here's what they explained to us, that when the pressure dropped, it let the impurities in. But sometimes God will allow us to go through pressure to purify us. Yes. Pressure produces power. One of the greatest days of my life this past year is when I got a pressure cooker. Because I like to make chicken wings. And what I normally do is I bake them in the oven for an hour and a half before I put them in the deep fryer because, you know, we can't go healthy. This is North Carolina. We fry everything. When I got a pressure cooker, it blew me away. What took an hour and a half in the oven only takes 10 minutes in the pressure cooker. Because the heat from the outside causes the steam on the inside to do what it could not do without the pressure. And I'm not telling you that the pressure is from God, but what I am telling you is that God is using that pressure. But it's not about the pressure on the outside. It's about the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside. And the more pressure you're under, the more actively the Holy Spirit is working and moving and shaping you. Pressure can actually save your life. A season of pressure can preserve you. Earlier this year, I went for an angiogram at UNC hospitals, and what they did is they cut open my artery, and they sent a probe all the way up into my head, and I imagine that it's like the magic school bus. They send a little school bus, and they take the class up there. I didn't see it on the screen. That's just how I pretend that it is, but at the end of the procedure, the surgeon says, now this is going to hurt, but I'm going to have to put pressure on your leg, and she was right. It hurt. It hurt bad. I didn't like the pressure. But I knew that the pressure was preserving me. Never underestimate the power of pressure. God promised in His Word to work all things together for the good to them who love God and who are called according to His purpose. Joseph said it like this when he was under pressure. What you meant for evil, God intended for good. And I want to encourage you with this today. If it's not good, then God's not done. If where you are right now is not good, God is not done. He's not finished. He's going to work that thing in your favor. I want to ask you this morning. If today was your last day on earth, did y'all know the world was supposed to end yesterday? You didn't see that? That's what somebody said. If your world ended today, and I'm not saying that it's going to, but if it did, do you know that you would be in heaven with God?
Yes.
Do you know that you're ready to stand before God? If you died today, do you know that you would be in heaven with Jesus? I'm not here to scare you or make you afraid, but I want you to think about your status with God today, because I want you to be ready to meet the Lord. I want us to all be ready. And I talked this morning about being under pressure and about situations that you don't have the power to control. Well, my friend, eternity is one of those things. You can't do anything about eternity, but Jesus can. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that you have life. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to God except through me." And here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He's standing with open arms. He never turned anybody away. Jesus doesn't save you based on your past. He saves you despite your past. He saves you because He loves you. Jesus is here in this place today, ready to save you and set you free. Will you pray with me for just a moment? Lord, we thank You for Your unfailing love. Lord, You said in Your Word that nothing shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Lord, we thank You, God. I just pray for those who are in a high-pressure situation right now. God, I thank You. Lord, that You are with them, that You have not forgotten them. Lord, that You will be with them through this season, and You're going to use that pressure to create good. Lord, that You're going to use that pressure to shape them and make them and mold them into the people that You desire them to be. God, I pray for those who are here this morning who don't know Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that they would have the boldness, the courage, the faith to accept You today, to open up their hearts to You and make You the Lord and Savior of their life, or that they would have everlasting life. Just a second, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to help you make that decision to follow Jesus. But the Bible says that salvation is the gift of God. You don't earn it. You don't earn salvation by going to church. You don't earn salvation by doing good deeds. You don't earn it. You can't do enough good deeds to earn salvation. It is simply the gift of God, and to receive salvation, you just have to receive it by faith. Because God never consults your past to determine your future. Today is somebody's day of new beginnings today. I sense that. Today is somebody's day of salvation. Today is somebody's second chance with God. You're here this morning and you're ready to accept Jesus. Listen, don't wait another day. Make it today. Make today your day of salvation. Make today your day of decision. I'm going to lead you in this simple prayer, and I want to ask everybody here, let's pray this prayer out loud together. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with Your help, I'm going to live for You. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to serve You all the days of my life. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. If you prayed that prayer, you made the greatest decision of your lifetime. The Bible says that your sins are washed away. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Can we just worship together for a moment today? Come on, let's just lift our hands and lift our voice and just give God.